We continue 8 lines down from the top on Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph. We've been discussing koshering, and now we're going to continue with some of the halachos of koshering, as well as a couple other relevant halachos. Rabbi Akiva, we begin with a story. Rabbi Akiva, Ikla Leginzak. Rabbi Akiva went to this town called Ginzak, Ba'umine, and there they asked him the following 3 questions. Misanin l'shaos, or ain misanin l'shaos? Are you allowed to fast for a set number of hours as opposed to a full day, or not? What exactly does that mean? Rashi explains what it means is as follows. Tainus l'shaos means you can't fast. There's no such thing as fasting half a day. It's a full fast, or it's not a full fast. So Rashi says what happened is where a person is so busy in the morning, and ends up by the afternoon, he hasn't eaten yet. And then he says, you know what? I'm going to fast the rest of the way, since I already started fasting since the morning. Is that permitted or not? In other words, of course, you don't have to eat if you're not hungry. Or if you want to fast, you can fast a little bit. But the question is, can you say anenu? Does it have a din of a fast, a personal fast, or not? That was the way Rashi understands it. Tosfos argues and says, no, that can't be the case. You have to talk, in order to accept the tainus upon yourself, you have to accept the tainus upon yourself the night before. So rather, what the case of a tainus l'shaos is as follows. A person the night before accepts upon himself to fast till the next day, or he says he accepts upon himself by saying, if I don't eat up until lunchtime, then I will hereby be fasting. I'm accepting upon myself now to fast after lunchtime, after chatzos, something like that. That's a tainus l'shaos. But if you only accept it upon yourself, or you made a reference to it only in the daytime, then it wouldn't be a tainus l'shaos. So that's a machlokas Rashi Tosos. Actually, in Shulchan Aruch, both opinions are brought down. The Shulchan Aruch brings down the Stam as Rashi's approach and the Yesh Omrim as Tosos' approach, which, following the laws of the Shulchan Aruch, it would seem to be that Rashi's approach is what the way the Shulchan Aruch rules. But nevertheless, that was the first question asked to Rabbi Akiva. Is a tainus l'shaos a thing or not? Lohava biyadeh, he didn't have an answer. Kankanim shel ovdei kochavim masurim o mutarim. They also asked him how the jugs that belonged to idolaters, they were used with presumably with yayin nesach. So are they permissible for now at this point for a Jew to use or not? Lahava biyada, he also didn't have an answer to that question. And then the third question posed to Rabbi Akiva: Bamash shimesh Moshe kol shiva simei hamiluim. The 7 days of the inauguration of the Mishkan, what garments did Moshe use for the inauguration? What's the question? Well, Rashi explains, it couldn't be that he was wearing the Big Day Kahuna, because Big Day Kahuna were only La'aron Achicha, was only for Aaron, so he couldn't wear Big Day Kahuna. And that's the question. Tosfos actually says there is an opinion in Zvachim that Moshe did have the status of a Kohen Gadol, and therefore the question is specifically about the Zayin Yemei Miluim, since at that point the Kedusha hadn't affected the base of the Mishkan yet. That's why the question was, what did Moshe wear? Okay, nevertheless, that was the question that was asked to Rabbi Akiva, Lahave Biyadei. He didn't have an answer. So again, 3 questions the great Rabbi Akiva, the legend, was unable to answer. So what happened? Asa shel Beis Midrash. They asked the question in the Beis Midrash. Amri, and in the Beis Midrash, they ruled as follows. Hilchasa mis'anan l'shaos. Number one, you can do a tainus l'shaos. V'im hishli mispal tefilas tainus. And if you finish the fast, then you can say anenu and create the Torah and all these other things. Again, whether it's Rashi's opinion or Tosos's opinion is a separate issue, or well, it's connected. But the point is, tainus l'shaos is a thing. V'hilchasa kankanim shel ovdei kochavim la'achar yud beis chodesh mutarim. And the second halacha with regards to the jugs owned by idolaters after 12 months, those are permissible to use. What's the idea? The concept is that after 12 months, all of the iser is gone. It's completely, whatever has been absorbed in the jugs is no longer considered a liquid, or it's nothing. It's disintegrated, and therefore everything is completely permissible. And the question then is, well, what's this idea of Yud Beis Chodesh? Is there such an idea that you can use, you know, you have a pot that has been in the, you know, someone that used non-kosher, kept a non-kosher home, but they weren't Jewish, and they're giving you their pots, and they haven't used their pots in 12 months. Well, that means that all of the Isser is now removed, and therefore it's, you don't have to do any koshering. It's, you know, let's assume it was China, so something that you couldn't kosher anyways. Now they're giving it to you, so 12 months later you can use it. So you have to keep in mind that this case that the Gemara is talking about is where it was only absorbed by cold. It was wine that was absorbed in the, that was sitting in the jugs. It wasn't anything hot. Something that was absorbed through heat, you would have to imagine that the koshering process does not allow for a 12-month delay, and then you would be able to use it. And even though the Shulchan Aruch does bring this halacha down with regards to wine, that's talking about when it's cold. But if something is absorbed hot, you can't just wait 12 months and then use it. But there are other reasons to be lenient. So, for example, if you inherit a bunch of china that's a few years old from a family member who didn't keep kosher, and now you want to use it, if it hasn't been used in a few years, so that's a reason to be, it's a sniff to be lenient, it's something you can use as an additional, perhaps, argument to be lenient, but there are other things as well that you can combine with that approach. So, for example, a pot or plate is usually a kli sheni, maybe even a kli shlishi. That's the case. You have more reasons to be lenient. So a combination of factors, you can come up with a solution to potentially be lenient in certain situations. But we can't make a ruling on a podcast. And the Gemara continues. B'mashimish Moshe shivas mi'emiluim. What exactly did Moshe wear those 7 days of the inauguration of the Mishkan? B'chalok lavan. It was a white garment. Rav Kahana masni b'chalok lavan shein bo imah. However, Rav Kahana qualified and said it was a white garment which didn't have a hem. What's the reason for not having a hem? So Rashi rejects one suggestion was that they might think that he had a hem, so he had pockets. He would be stuffing in some jewelry from the base from the Mishkan and keeping it for himself. So there was no hem, so there was no place for an open for him to pocket anything. Rashi says that doesn't make any sense, that everything from the Mishkan was already finished. There was no money sitting in there in the Mishkan. Tosos gives a few answers. The last one he gives is that Imra is really spelled with an ayin, meaning wool, that it was a white garment without any wool. In other words, the Big Day Kahuna were always climbed. It was always shotness, but there was a mitzvah say to perform the mitzvah in the base of, in the Mishkan, so, and the base of Megillah, so it was made of shotness. But here, it was not, since Moshe's garments, what was unique about Moshe's garments was that they weren't shotness. So those were the three answers given to Rabbi Akiva for the to the questions that Rabbi Akiva was unable to answer.